This is Dr. Max T. Younts, pastor of the Heritage Baptist Bible Church of Walnut Grove, Minnesota. This is our Bible class, and we are glad that you could join with us today. We hope that you will get your Bible out and be ready to follow along. We'll be back in just a moment. It is so good to have you join with us again at the same time each week. We thank you for allowing this time for us to be able to come into your homes and to study the Bible together and join with us in our Bible class. We also want to periodically thank those that do take time to write us. We're always so happy to get your letters and to hear, especially from some that write us and tell us this is the first time we've written, but we've been listening to the broadcast for 5 or 6 years now and just never taken time to write. And it just thrills us to get letters like that to say, you know, you're even listening 5 or 6 years, and we never knew it, you know. And you write and tell us that, and tell us that you're praying for us and praying for the radio broadcast and how much you enjoy it, and it stimulated you to start studying the Bible for yourself. And that is a thrill to us, and we appreciate that very much, and it really makes it all worthwhile. And we also like to thank some of you that have sent financially to help and want the money to go toward the radio time that we pay for the broadcast here. That we're very appreciative of, and that really helps out a lot. So to you folks that do that, we want to say thank you very, very much. We hope that you'll invite your friends to listen to the broadcast and to join in, and maybe we'll get an opportunity to meet them and to hear from them also. Well, we're over here now to 1 Peter again, and sometimes it seems like we're not getting too far too fast. But we're in no hurry. We got until the rapture, so we'll try to speed it up a little bit. But just as long as the Word of God's taught, it really doesn't matter how fast you really go. As long as we can each benefit from it, and the Lord takes the Holy Spirit and applies it to our hearts, that we can grow in the grace and knowledge of the dear Lord. Well, we're over here now to verse 16 of the second chapter, and let's begin to read here. As free, talking about our wonderful salvation now, it is a free gift. We're not under the old Mosaic law, and not using your liberty as a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Yes, we are saved by grace through faith. It is a gift to God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It is a free gift. It most assuredly is. But we're not to use that as a cloak in order to do things dishonestly. And as we've said, this verse should clarify all questions that we are saved by grace and free from the Old Testament Mosaic law, but we are not free to use this liberty to break the laws of the land. I remember years ago we were pastoring in southern Indiana, and there was a Jewish man down there, and they run a Jewish store, and it was a clothing store. And we had told this a couple of times before, but it was sort of comical. Anyway, I had witnessed to him. I stopped by to view the suits, and the suits were way out of my pocketbook line. They were wonderful suits, but I just couldn't afford that kind. So anyway, and I had witnessed to him and so forth, and he said, well, he said, I just keep the law. And I said, really? He said, well, as much as I can. And I said, well, let me ask you something. I said, when's the last time you've been to Jerusalem? Oh, he said, I've never been to Jerusalem, never been. Have you been there? And I said, no, I have some friends that's been there many times. I've never went there myself. But I said, I don't have to go there, but you do. He said, what do you mean? And I said, well, under the old Mosaic law, you have to go 3 times a year. You've got to go for the Feast of Pentecost, you've got to go for the Feast of Passover, and you've got to go for the Feast of Tabernacles. And it tells us that in Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 16. Ted, you got to go there. So anyway, he said, oh, my gracious, he said, I can't afford it. I said, well, the law doesn't apply, make provisions for your transportation. You got to go. And I said, how old are you anyway? And, well, he wouldn't tell me exactly. I said, well, you look about, oh, I suppose you look about 50, something like that. But every male from 20 years old and up had to go to Jerusalem 3 times a year. So I said, well, that's 30 times this year that you've broken the law. And I said, my gracious, if we take from 20 and we'll assume you're 50, 30, 40, 50, that's 30, and 30 times 3, that's 90. I said, good gracious, you've broken the law 90 times, and that's just one law, and we've got hundreds of laws to go yet. Oh, he said, my gracious, he said, I'm doing the best I can. I said, you'll never make it. And I said, Jesus Christ made it for you, though. He made it on the cross. And he paid for your sins. Well, he didn't want to hear too much about that. You know, they're still looking for the Messiah. They've accepted over 30, and they've all been false. You'd think once here, they'd get the true one, wouldn't you? But we thank the Lord, and like say this now, concerning that. If you keep the whole law, yet offend in one point, you're guilty as if you've broken it all. But I might say this. I have many Jewish friends who are saved and have trusted Jesus Christ as the Yeshua, the Messiah. Yahweh, Jehovah, Adonai, Elohim, and the true God of Israel is the true God we worship, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ in human flesh. For in the Godhead, the fullness of the Godhead dwells fully in Christ. Christ, God, is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That means God himself, the fullness of the Godhead. Everything of the Godhead is bodily in Jesus Christ. He is God in human flesh. So anyway, just to say that this man never accepted the Lord Jesus, but he was surely gone, and we talked to him about some other things about the great persecution yet to come against the nation of Israel, which they are not aware of, and pray it never happens, but it's going to happen. It will happen in the tribulation. But anyway, as we go on, we find out that there are many marches that are conducted today under the disguise of a God-given right. In reality, God does not extend to any Christian the right to break the law, civil or military, as a means to justify an end. When masses of people march down a street, they are not only breaking the law, but violating the rights of those who pay taxes for the upkeep and the right to use those streets for vehicular traffic. They most assuredly are. If we had the laws and justice in our government that we should have, we wouldn't have a need for marches. And those that didn't march just because they want to pamper their petty whatever it might be, we find out they wouldn't be allowed to do it. You would not allow it. You see, if we had, and we had the civil rights marches back there under Dr. Martin Luther King, it was atrocity how that we treated the black people. That was unreal. They could not use the same restrooms. They would not let them go into the same dining areas and so forth. Totally inhumane. And you have the KKK and so forth like that, and those people. And now you have the white power that actually hate the black people. And I might say they're just as much God's children. If they've trusted Jesus Christ, they're as much God's creation. They have as much equal rights to anything and everything that you and I have. And I'll tell you what, I have many black people who are my friends. And I thank God for them. And some of them are, I'll tell you what, they're better friends than some white people. They really are. But we're not discussing race or that, but I am saying this. In God's eyes, it doesn't matter whether you're Semitic, doesn't matter whether you're black, you're African-American, or you're Chinese, you're Japanese, or you're Italian. It doesn't make any difference with God. God loves every one of you. He most assuredly does. And he's provided salvation for each and every one of us. But as a humanitarian, I might say this. To me, if I look at an African-American, I don't really see an African-American. It makes no difference to me if he's black, whether he's African-American, whether they're Chinese, whether they're Italian. Does not make any difference to me whatsoever. Absolutely none. You assess that person as far as their behavior, their responsibility, and so forth, not at all to the color of the skin. And when we look back at America, and I read some of these things that happened back there to the African Americans, it makes me sick on my stomach, and also to the American Indians, the Native Americans, the way that we white people have treated some of them and so forth, taken their land, kicked them off, and so forth, and wouldn't even let some of the African Americans come into restaurants, of course, and beat them and so forth like that, it's hard to believe that this is the America that I live in today. Well, in God's eyes, that isn't so. You know, he looks at everyone equally alike as a part of his creation, and Christ died on the cross for the African-American. He died on the cross for the Caucasian. He died on the cross for the Italian, the pygmy over there in the foreign lands and so forth. And in God's eyes, he's not willing any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And that word repentance means metanoia, come to a change of mind. But now I think we need to keep in mind, too, that we are free from the Mosaic law and ordinances, but not from obeying the laws of the land. Those who refuse to fight for our country, pay taxes, or respect the rights of other citizens, which we are guaranteed by the law, should be punished according to the law. When persons or groups or organizations acclaim the right from God to do these things, they're actually lying. You see, in Jeremiah 17:9, we have, when you catch somebody actually shooting somebody in a murder, they won't admit they're guilty, and if they do, the judge won't accept the verdict. He won't, or not the verdict, but he won't accept the plea. I've never seen such stupidity in my life. On a lot of occasions, why I won't accept the plea of guilty. Well, if a guy pleads guilty, and then he pleads guilty, he knows he's caught, and then 6 months later, his attorney says, well, he didn't mean it. Well, that's a bunch of hogwash. Then you better be responsible enough. If you're not responsible enough for that, you're not responsible enough to be loose in society. Then you should be chaperoned or locked up somewhere. Don't put him out here with me. I don't want to have to fool around with him, you know, and so forth. But when persons, groups, or organizations acclaim the right from God to do these things, as we've said, they're actually lying. Now, in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And then we come over here, and I think it describes a lot of what's going on today in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 to 15. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Now, we come on down to verse 17. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. Now, a Christian acting as God's servant will submit to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. He will show due respect to all, love his brother in Christ, honor the king, all in fear of God and in fear of bringing reproach upon the master's name and disrespect to his holy word. Now we come on down and begin to find out here that we come to the next section here, and it is in verses 18 to 25, our service to the individual. What do we do in here? So let's begin here, if you will, in verses 18 to 20. We'll try to cover a little more ground here this time. And servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to do good, do the good and gentle, but also to the forward, those that are just got a brazing mouth. For this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it when you be buffeted for your faults? You shall take it patiently. But if, when you do well, you suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. That's pretty hard to do sometimes, isn't it, folks? It really is for any of us, you know. But we find out here, first of all, going back to the service, many of these servants were slaves, while others were servants acting in accordance with the old Mosaic law. Now, you can go back there and read about these servants in Colossians chapter 3, verse 22 to 24. Titus chapter 2 and verses 6 to 10 talks about it. And also here in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 1 and 2. In fact, we might look over there, if you want to, here to 1 Timothy here in chapter 6, verse 1 to 2. And let's just get one of these here. We'll not go back and look them all up. But it says here, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 1 and 2, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them, because they are brethren, but rather do them service, because they are faithful and beloved partakers of the benefit these things teach and exhort. Now, we might apply this today to a very practical illustration. What about you working on the job? What about you working for an employer? And do you give him the best that you can as a Christian? For there you say, yes, but I'm not getting paid as much as I should. While you're employed there, you ought to give that employer the best that you can. Now, if you don't feel you're getting paid as much as you should, then you ought to hunt another job. Or else go into the employer and explain to him what your feelings are and so forth. Do it in a very nice and a kind way. But you are to give him the best that you possibly can as a testimony that you are a Christian while you're employed by that employer. That we should always do. And we find out also concerning this that these masters here, the ones who were under slaves at the time of Christ and prior, were not always kind, they were not always nice, and they were not always considerate, as there were no labor unions back then. In reality, some masters were very offensive or forward toward their servants. And it's easy to be nice to those who are good and gentle, isn't it? And a Christian employee today often suffers criticism. They often suffer false accusations, behind-the-back dealings, lack of advancement at the hands of an employer. I remember one lady came to me, it's been a few years ago, and she'd worked in an office, and it came time that one of the office girls was having a birthday and so on and so forth. And they went there, and everybody had their drinks, and she said, "I'm not coming. I don't want around the stuff." And she said, I had a father who was a wonderful man. He died an alcoholic. He died a derelict. The once proud man that used to be my father ended up penniless. And we hardly ever knew him later in years and could hardly ever find out where he was at. And you want me to come? I don't touch the damnable stuff." She almost lost her job because she wouldn't go to a birthday party and the dinner time luncheon there. And they all had their beer and their little nippy-nip, you know, that's what they call it, I guess, a nippy-nip, you know, or something. So they all had their little shot of whiskey and their beer, whatever. And that was all right, but since she didn't participate then, she was ostracized and so forth. Well, I thank God somebody has enough backbone to stand up and to stand up for what's right. You go into some little small towns, you know, and you have the drinking little crowd that runs around if you don't associate with them. And it amazes me. This is absolutely a joke to me. You'll find that other people who have morals and they have ethics and they have their life under control, you'll have some of these drunks come down and absolutely, I mean, they sit at the bars, they run the women, and they come down and they think they're going to hurt your feelings because they don't speak to you. That is the biggest joke I have ever seen in my life. And little do they realize if they'd ever turn around real fast, they see people laughing at them behind their back. But they've done it so long and are so stupid that they don't realize that even their own friends, some of them laugh at them, you know. And that's hard for me. I've never seen that. I've never lived in a little town like I live in here in Walnut Grove. But so I've learned some things, how people act that you just don't find it in other places, you know. I guess maybe other small towns you find the same thing. But amazing to me, they actually think that they hurt somebody's feelings, they don't speak to you, when absolutely it's the best testimony we got. You know, best testimony we got, it really is, when some won't speak to you or won't do this and that, because, brother, you're not in our class, any way, shape, or form, none. And when you come to our church, you're going to be very much convicted if you sit in the bars. And you're going to be very much convicted if you slip out and you're running around on your wife and shacking up. Yeah, you're going to be very much convicted, so you're not going to be comfortable in our church unless you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and get your life together and get it cleaned up a little bit. So anytime you person just go ahead and doing that kind of stuff and then won't speak or one thing or another, you're the best testimony we got, because we don't condone that at all. None. We condemn it, but we surely don't condone it, because the Lord said he's come that we can have life and have it abundantly. We find out when a Christian stands on the Word of God, though, they're going to be talked about, they're going to be lied about, and they're going to, by some of these idiots, think that they actually offend you when they don't speak to you, and actually they're paying you a compliment. But when a Christian is treated wrongfully and takes it patiently, this is acceptable with God. This attitude and action on a Christian's part is a must if we hope to win others to Christ. The world expects a Christian to be different from the world if we name the name of Christ. If you remember, Paul and Silas were imprisoned at Philippi after having been beaten with many stripes. Yet they took it patiently, maintaining a right attitude, considering those lost around them. And, of course, you recall in Acts chapter 16, this resulted in the jailer and his whole house being saved. Our patience should increase as we view our oppressors as unregenerated people on their way to an eternal hell. We need to realize that our actions are proof of our faith and will be responsible for leading someone to or away from Christ. Now we come down here to verses 21 to 23. Let's notice here, if you will. 21 to 23, "For even hereunto are you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who did no guile, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again, and when he suffered, he threateneth not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously." So we find out here, we Christians are those bearing Christ's name. We're called also to walk in his steps. Our Savior's actions were proof of his love for all mankind, a love so great that he gave his life that we might have eternal life. We find out, first thing, if we just take a look at this briefly, before his crucifixion, we had false witnesses that came and testified against him, but he held his peace in Matthew chapter 26. You know, we find when we first came to Walnut Grove, they resented a church being started here. They had four churches, and they didn't want another church here. And we had more lies told about us, my wife and I, than I have had in 30 years of being a pastor. And you'd hear these things, and you could almost tell. You go in the grocery store, you go into the business place or the restaurant, you go in the filling station, you go there, you know, and you could almost tell, well, here's a new rumor been started around, you know. But you know what the amazing thing was? I said, man, I've never seen anything like this. And some of these people go to church every Sunday. Some of the biggest liars I ever seen in my life. And people know them. They know they lie. And they really do. But said, you know what? Just hold on. Time will prove it out. Now, as times went on in 2, 3, 4 years, 5 years, and some of them we've led to the Lord Jesus Christ. And they've come to me and said, Pastor, you know, when you first came to town, I never heard such lies in my life about it. And she said, remember one lady said, and she said, I found out they were turned out to be liars. And she said, you know, one person pointed out to me, look at their lives. Look where they go on in their life. Look what they're doing. They do this to everybody. But now you're the central point of attraction because you moved to town and started a Bible teaching church. Now you're the one they're going to get. And they'll run you out of town if you possibly can. One man told me, we've said this a couple of times, he said, we'll have you out of town in 6 months. Well, he's since died. He's the one out of town. He's not around anymore. Isn't it amazing how the Lord works things out? Isn't that amazing? But she said to me, said, you know what? I found them to be liars. And she said, I thank God so much that you came to Walnut Grove, or I would have never met the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I'll tell you what, folks, that makes it all worthwhile. Thank you, Pastor, for starting a church here that told me. I thought previously I went to heaven because I was baptized. Thought that all my life, heard that all my life. But now I know that I have a home in heaven, not because of water baptism, but because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he gave his life to die for me personally, and I have accepted him. I'd never heard that all my life in this area around here. I'd never heard that. And I thank God for it so much. Well, you get down around the Bible Belt and you hear it all the time. You know, you just get in certain areas where, you know, you don't have as many Bible teaching churches. They're all filled with ceremonialism. They're all filled with more important looking at the pastor with his robe on than they are looking into the Bible and seeing what the Bible says, you know. That's the whole thing right there. But that makes it worthwhile. But you know what? It took 4 years for this person, 4 years to look and watch. And she found out the people who were spreading the lies were the liars, and their lies were debunked. And they do that to anybody and everybody they don't like. But then she began to find out, you know, I don't see these things. I don't see Pastor Younts doing this. You know, I see him uptown. I see him in the grocery store. I see him this. He's friendly here. He talks. He does this and that. Where's all this stuff? What are these people talking about? You know. And she trusted Jesus Christ as her Savior. And we're thrilled to death over that. You might be a Christian, and you might have people that resent you because you don't go along with the flow of their filth. But I'll tell you what, you stand on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're going to find out the people that you do win to Christ have some substance to them, they have some character to them, and they're people you like to be around. They're people that are going ahead and witness for the Lord Jesus, and they're going to amount to something for the Lord, and it's going to make all the difference in the world, you see. Now, as we go on here, we might find out our patience should increase as we view our oppressor as an unregenerated person, as we've said, on their way to eternal hell. We need to realize, as we've said, that our actions are proof of our faith and will be responsible, as we've said, for leading someone to or away from Christ. We Christians as those bearing Christ's name are called also to walk in his steps. Our Savior's actions, as we've said, are proof of his love. He therefore, they bore false witnesses against him. He was accused by the chief priests and elders, but he never answered a word. The reason was he was going to the cross. And we find out also they put a crown of thorns on his head, and they mocked him, and they spit on him, and they smote him on the head, gave him vinegar mingled with gall to drink. If we could only realize what a wonderful, wonderful Savior that we have. Instead of calling an army, a heavenly army of 72,000 angels down, in Matthew chapter 26, verse 53, he could have called down 12 legions of angels, and that is, a Roman legion was made up of 6,000, and that is 72,000 angels. He endured it all, including the cross, and his only answer was, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." Well, there's nothing wrong with standing up if somebody lies about you and saying, "No, that person's a liar." There's nothing wrong with that, because we're not going to the cross. We're carrying the cross of the Lord Jesus, yes. And we're going to bear his reproach by the ungodly and those that don't want anything to do, and where they go to church for a pancake supper or a sausage supper or some kind of knitting party, or we're going to have a rummage sale. We got to get money for the church, about to go under, you know. And, of course, non-profit. I don't know why they do it when it is profit, but non-profit, you know. And we're going to do that. No, you're going to suffer reproach from organized religion, but praise the Lord for the Christians, the true Christians, that are trusting not in the formalism, the ceremonialism, or the water baptism, but trusting solely in Jesus Christ. What a thrill it is, and what a wonderful Savior we have. And I'll say this for Christians, it's sometimes hard to keep your mouth shut when you have people that lie about you. But I want to tell you this, mark it down. I've never seen it to fail. I've never seen it to fail here in Walnut Grove, and more to come. But I've never seen it to fail. Those that lie about you, it will come out, and you'll find out. You'll find out people eventually don't want to be around them because they know that person that lied about this person or that person will also lie about them. And I'll tell you what, first person you ever want to be around is a liar, because they'll get you. And they're doing that to promote their own self-righteousness. Well, we're glad to have you join with us again today. We'll finish up here in two verses here that are used for faith healing in verse 24 and 25, and we'll cover that next week and show you that's not what it's speaking about, but it'll be very interesting. Hope you'll invite your friends to join along with us here. And again, we want to invite you to take time to write us. We're always glad to hear from you. Our mailing address is the Heritage Radio Bible Class, Post Office Box 573, Walnut Grove, Minnesota, and our zip code is 56180. Until next week at the same time, may the Lord richly bless you as we ever pray. Even so, come, Lord Jesus.